The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints. Now he's telling you who it's to the saints. You get that? To the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's preaching to those saints in Ephesus and to you and me. All right, then he said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice these next words, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Has God blessed you? All right, verse 4. According as he hath. Up there, he hath blessed us. Now, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You can be seated. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the blessed opportunity to open the precious, unadulterated Word of God one more time. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the strength to be here, the desire to be here, the want to be here this morning. Now I pray you'd take our lips and speak. Anoint us with the power from on high. Give us, Lord, what we stand in great need of, spiritually speaking. Feed us. Lord, we're hungry. Feed our soul. We'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Touch every heart in this building. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's some he has in this chapter 1. I didn't read them all. And we'll probably not get all of them. We'll just read a few of them. But I want to go, first of all, to verse number 3. You'll read this where you ought to be, brother. It'll bless your heart. It'll make you feel good to go out of here this morning. Verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, what does he mean by that? Oh, he said, he blessed me, preacher. What does he really mean? He's blessed me. I hear people do this all the time, and they'll stand up and say, oh, I thank God for the job he gave me. I thank God for the car he gave me. I thank God for the shotgun he gave me. I mean, they just start. But did you see what it says? You're not really praising God for the right thing. He says here he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Amen. It's easy when God has made it possible we can get a brand new car and put the key in. And of course, it got, don't have to have keys no more. But man, you smell it. Oh, you get that aroma, that sweet smell of that car. Oh, it's got everything. I mean, you look up in the mirror or look on the dash and you can see the bumper in the back. Amen. That's good for some of you. But anyhow, and you know, got all these little mirrors. Everything is there. And you brag about it. Oh, God has blessed me with that. Now, that's not a real spiritual blessing. That's a material blessing. And what I'm trying to get at this morning, when I look at this, most of us we're materialistic anyhow. And we think our blessings are what we have materially. Oh, I thank God for the food he put on my table. For the roof over my... We ought to. I'm not in here criticizing you if you do that. I'm not even saying you shouldn't thank God that you got a good automobile. I remember when I didn't have a good automobile, I had to push it off. Had to park it on the hill every night and hope it cranked in the morning before I got to the bottom of the hill so I could go to work. And I've even parked it in the parking lot when service, I mean, when day was, I'm geared to church, you know. But when I come out of the meal, had to, if I couldn't find a place to park it on the hill, I had to say, I need two or three of you fellas just give me a little shove. And it crank. And go home. I've been there. So I do thank God you got a good car. That's good to thank Him for. But those are not spiritual blessings. They are materialistic blessings. And if you this morning are measuring your spiritual life and your blessings on the physical things, you can get in trouble. God never promised you that you'd have two cars and a house on the lake. God never promised you that you'd have everything that you wanted at your fingertips. But God did say He'd supply your needs according to His riches in glory. God meets your needs. Well, I got to thinking about it. What does He really mean by spiritual blessings? What does He really mean? And I got to looking back at my life, and here's some things that I realize. Number one, one of the best things I can go back and get to first is He changed my family. Amen. Now you said, preacher, I don't understand what you're doing. I see some of you saying you need to change. He needs to change my family. And you ain't caught on to what I'm preaching yet. Take your Bible, please, this morning and turn over in the 8th chapter. Hold your place there. But turn over in the 8th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. In John chapter 8, I want us to look at this. John 8, Jesus is speaking, and this is what He said in verse number 44. He looked at that crowd that was there. They were standing before Him, and they were questioning Him and arguing with Him and putting in their 2 cents worth. And Jesus said down in verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." You belong to the devil's family is what He's saying. And you're doing exactly what the devil wants you to do. He said in verse number 44, "He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." He changed my family. When I got saved that day as a little old boy, I on the second row walked down the aisle, cried out to God, said, "God, save me." He reached over and took me out of the devil's family. Amen. I mean, snatch me. Snatch me. Grab me. Pull me. Yank me out of the hands of Satan. Took me out of his family and put me in the family of God. Amen. I'm not what I used to be, thank God. I want you to know He changed me. He gave me a brand new family. So that's one of my spiritual blessings. I can get up, I don't care if I ain't got a penny in my pocket. Amen. If my bank account's dry. If I'm sick at the point of death. Amen. If the old car won't crank and I'm living in a tent in the backyard of Walmart. Amen. I don't care this morning, thank God. I want you to know I can say I've been removed from the devil's family and God has changed me and put me in His family. Amen. Somebody says, "Well, I have never been a high on a totem pole." And they may come along and say, "You know what? I'm one of the president's sons." Doesn't say I might be, and I want you to know I'm one of the governor's sons. Hey, preacher, I'm one of the mayor's sons. Hey, I tell you, I'm one of his. Brother, I'm a child of the King. I belong to Him. The devil has no toll upon me now. I want you to know he has no room. Amen. In my heart, thank God, we'll talk about some other. I've been removed from his family and put into the family of God. Amen? Well, I got to thinking about that. What does it mean? What does it mean to be, you know, blessed with spiritual blessings? Number two, he not only changed my family, but he changed my faith. You see, there was a time I didn't have any faith. I was dead in sins and trespasses. But he gave me the faith to believe. And now God gave me a faith. See, I'm in a family now and I've got some faith. My faith may not be like it ought to be. Your faith may be greater than my faith, and we're not going to stand here and argue over that. One old child of God says, I got more faith than he's got. And they said, no, I got more faith than he's got. And you're just, you know what you're doing, you're arguing and you're trading devils. Fact is, none of us got the faith we ought to have. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we missed the mark. But I'm glad God gave me some faith. I got a little faith. I ain't got enough. You see, I wouldn't even try this morning to look over at the mountain and say, be ye removed. Mount Yonah's been sitting over there a long time and nobody's moved it. Why? Their faith ain't strong enough. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, mine's not either. But I want to tell you, God has given me some faith. He gave me the faith to believe. I didn't have sense enough to believe. I didn't have a know-how to believe. But I'm thanking God this morning. Some of those spiritual blessings is He gave me the faith to believe that He could save me. And He did. So He not only gave me and changed my family and changed my faith, but He changed my future. Praise God. I'm glad things look bright. You said, preacher, sometimes things happen that don't look bright for you. It depends on where you're looking. Amen. Some of you this morning, if they give you a death sentence and said you're not going to live for 3 weeks or a month or 6 months, you'd get so gloomy and upset. Amen. And then there'd be some of you said, hey, hallelujah, I'm going home in 6 weeks. You understand what I'm saying? You have that same attitude Paul had. Absent in the body, be present with the Lord here, there, or in the air. Thank God we're going home to be with Him. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. And I praise God He's changed my future. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not headed where I used to be headed. But I'm headed, amen, in the right direction. Thank God for it this morning. Amen. He not only changed me, but He churched me. Now, sometimes we talk about, we church somebody, means you throw them out. They used to throw people out of church. Now, some of you young folks don't know nothing about that. I got the books of a church I was pastoring, and I think it's 1906 or somewhere along the early 1900s. I was looking at the books, and they had thrown two women out of the church. They had had conference and brought them in, and they said they'd been out of church 3 weeks without an excuse. And they dismissed them. Boy, you don't think I'm going to try that. I'd be standing here in the pulpit by myself this morning. There ain't no way. But there used to be a time they churched them. But I want to use it in a different term this morning. When He saved me, He churched me. I mean, I didn't want the church till He saved me, and now I love the church. He placed me in His institution. He placed me in the higher institution, brother, of learning. Brother, I want you to know the Bible said the church is the pillar and ground of truth. You want to get the truth, you get it down at the house of God. Now, I'm not talking about going where they squirt rose water and where the preacher can't figure out which way to put his shirt on and all that stuff. I'm not talking about them and got to, you know, do a little hand signals to you. I'm talking about where you go down the house of God and the man of God rears back and preaches and lets her flow from the throne of God, and you know you've been to church. A lot of people don't know they've been to church. They'll go, you know, I got to think about this a little earlier this morning. No telling how many in this county is going to church today, and they're just sitting there. There might be some here. Some of you may be that way. Maybe I'm getting you too. But they're sitting in the congregation, and they're just sitting there. They're worried, burdened, and troubled. Can't hardly wait till the service is over to get out of here. Amen. But God's people, they just get in a little old rut, you know. Sometimes I come to church to get something. Amen. I go to the restaurant to eat. I go to church to eat. I want to get me something when I get here. Amen. And I'm not talking about a salad. Amen. was at the doctor the other day, and that doctor said to me, he said, what you need to do is start eating like what grandma used to feed everybody. And I rolled my eyes. She said to me, you know, grandma used to feed beans and potatoes and okra. You know, stuff you get out of the garden. And I got to thinking, that's right. The only time I ever eat meat was on Sunday when we'd run a hen down on Saturday. And that was when we was having company. Amen. And the only part I ever got out of a chicken, I got its neck and its back. Amen. How many of y'all ever eat a chicken neck? Well, let me ask you, how many has never eat a chicken neck? Ah! You ought to get you one and try it. And somebody said, what part of the chicken you like? Back, breast, and all the rest. But I'd eat chicken necks and chicken backs. Boniest part of the whole hen. I'm talking about a fat hen. Amen. And y'all eat a lot of necks, you just didn't know it. Someone's in the noodle soup and all that stuff. But you've eat it. You hear me? And we didn't get meat. But I found out that meat will stick with. Did you know you can eat a big old plate of green beans? You need a big plate of, they're good. Especially put a little ham, oh no, we'd leave that ham bone in them. But those green beans are good. But you can't run a sawmill on green beans. You put a T-bone steak or a piece of meat in there and it'll stay with you a little longer. And when I go down the house of God, I don't want green beans. I want some steak. I want some meat of the Word. Now that's scriptural. The Bible talked about, you know, the meat. Some they're not able to eat meat. See, some of y'all, you ain't got no spiritual teeth. You can't chew it. That's why I'm spoon feeding some of you. You know what spoon feeding is, don't you? I've been on this before. Spoon feeding. Mama spoon feeds that little baby. That she'll take that baby food in a jar. It's all smushed, and I've smelled some of it, and I don't know how in the world these young'uns will eat it. And no wonder they spit it back out. She rubs it in. Mama takes the spoon, rubs it back in. Mama takes the spoon, rubs it back in. To finally, it gets it all gone. And that's what I'm having to do. I'm poking it back when you're spitting it out. I'm trying to get you where you can stand on your own two feet and be what God would. That's spiritual blessings. Bless us with all spiritual blessings. So he churched me. What's that mean? It means he transformed me. Made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And after he transformed me, he started teaching me. He taught me. He's teaching me now. God taught me how to stand 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And God's teaching me how to stand today. And he'll keep teaching me tomorrow because I haven't learned how to stand like I ought to stand. And God wants me to walk like he wants me to walk. And talk like he wants me to talk. And God is saying, that's those spiritual blessings that God has helped me. There's some things I know is wrong. You're not going to convince me that they're right. Because I know they're wrong. There's some of you today, it's hard to convince you that they're wrong because you think they're right. And it's because you haven't been in the Word of God enough yet. The deeper you get in the Word of God, it's amazing how much you know is wrong. And how much God has to fix you. He's not only teaching me, but he's training me. God trained me. He's training me. I'm still in boot camp. I'm amazed how much I still don't know. And I'm amazed at how much I'm still having to learn. God has been good to me. He's blessed me. Thank God that He has. What's He done? He changed me. Churched me. Praise God. I want you to know one of these days He's going to do something else. He's going to make me a new body and give it to me. And I'll live like He lives because I'll be with Him. Now, God has taught me to do that. You know, God, in the Word of God, sometimes we go to church and don't seem like it does much good. I raised three young'uns, and sometimes what we taught them don't seem like it done any good. Little old lady the other day, young lady, she said to me, said she had the grocery store trying to get some gas. And this woman come running out there and she is hauling a tizzy. It's a mama. And her teenage daughter was trying to pump gas. Must have been the first time she'd ever pumped gas. And mama was out there saying, no, you're going to have to turn this vehicle around. Why? She said, because the gas tank's on the other side and the hose won't reach around it. And that little girl said, and so the little girl was going to go out there and turn around and come back in. And that woman looked over me and she said, teenagers. I said, ma'am, done been there, done that. It don't get no better even when they get 50. She said, I believe it. Amen. And so we are in the church house, and it don't seem to get no better. We just seem to be just pedaling our bicycle and going down the road. Listen, this word ought to change our lives. Some of you have been preached to for years and years and years and years. And I'm not talking about being patted on the back. You've been told the truth. The Word of God's went out. The Holy Ghost has arrested your thinking, and you're still doing what you did 20 years ago. Hadn't made up your mind yet to follow God. You know, if coming to church don't do no good for you, I don't know what in the world will. Are you waiting for a mail order sermon? Are you waiting for the postman to bring you a letter that's going to document everything and change your life completely? It won't happen that way. God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save men and women. I see right now I ain't gonna get down to where I really want to preach. Amen. I'm just giving the basics of this thing. But I look at this. I see people as church folks and doing things that they're doing, going where they shouldn't go. Don't pay no attention to how they do it. I had this to happen the other day. Little old fella over at the Golden Arch Supper Club. For y'all don't know, that's McDonald's. Got my coffee. The little manager brought the coffee out there to me. Come back and said, is everything all right? And we said, yes. And he said, I want to talk to you before you leave. I said, okay. I always draw up when somebody says that to me out in public. I don't know what they're going to do. I even get drawn up when I'm in church and somebody says, preacher, I want to talk to you before I leave today. I really look at that strange. Usually they're saying, I'm going to tell you what I think about you in a few minutes. Done been there. Well, I finally was fixing to leave, going up there, and they're all busy, and he's there. He saw me standing there, and a few minutes he came over and he said, oh, I got a question I want to ask you. He called me Reverend. He said, I got a question I want to ask you, Reverend. I don't like to be called Reverend. I'm not a Reverend. That term is given to Jesus, not me. And I looked at him and I said, I'll try to answer it if I can. He said, we've all been talking about this in here. Said, everybody works here. We've noticed on Sunday, these people come in their suits and their clean clothes, dressed up and they've been to church. It's that way all day on Sunday. And said, did you know on Sunday we have more trouble out of them people than we do the rest of the week? Said they're always a griping and complaining about the service and what we're doing and what they just don't like it. And they express themselves. Have you ever been to a restaurant and some woman over here on the side? Amen. Gets a fork and it's missed somehow the dishwasher. Look like three dead men to me eating off it, amen. And they say, and the waitress comes and says, I want another fork. This is dirty. You said, preacher shouldn't do it. No, just lay it down on the table. And when the waitress comes back by and says, ma'am, I'd like to have another fork. You don't even have to tell her there's anything on it. Get you another fork and chaw in. Amen. Don't get up on the table and say, bless God, I want another fork. Amen. Don't do it. Just because some of you ladies jump up on the coffee table at home, at least have a few manners about you when you get out in the public. Amen. Hear me? Let me ask you this. How many have you ever sat down with a family meal and you reached over and got the fork and somehow mama missed that one? Have you ever had a dirty fork in mama's kitchen? Come on, give me a hand. Yeah, amen. I guarantee you didn't get up on the coffee table and make a big issue out of it. How many of you ever got something out of the plate and you reached over and there was a hair? And you knowed it wasn't yours because... Amen. I mean, if you ever bit down in a sausage biscuit or something and you go, and you thought you forgot to put your bubble gum out. What do you do? I mean, you learn from the Word of God that we are Christians, we are children of God, we're saved by the grace of God, and we are examples to a lost world. Let them. You said, what'd you tell that fella? I said, sir, I hate to have to tell you this, and I hate to have to admit it, but some of my worst enemies have been people that I've pastored down through the years that said they knowed God. I said, the old drunk and the harlot out on the street, they see me coming, they'll kind of either get away from me or they're nice to me. They don't criticize me. They respect me. Did you go to church? Have you ever noticed today that the preachers in our churches are not respected like they used to be respected years ago? And of course, preachers have brought that on them. Amen. I wouldn't want nobody to bow before me. I'm a nothing. But I do like respect. Amen, and I appreciate you folks. You respect me. I appreciate that. You have to earn that respect. It's not something that just gets thrown on you. You earn it. But I'm saying this morning, that's some of the spiritual blessing. God has taught me how to work. Every once in a while, and I'm the only ones I really have a problem with in these days is them old telemarketers that's calling me 15 times on the same subject. Three times a day. And I'm learning good with them. Hello? I found out if you say hello one good time and just sit there, it'll say click. And you can turn around and call that number back and it said, this is so and so, and it's not a working number. Sir, we were talking to you the other day. They've called me, I guess, 10 times telling me my warranty had run out on my automobile. And then they've sent me two letters. Well, no, I won't take that one. If I wanted to take it out, I'd take it out. Don't bug me. What are you going to do? Oh, when it tears up, they say. I said, I'm going to do what I've done for 71 years. Fix it. Said, but do you know it's going to cost you a lot of money? I said, it's always cost me a lot of money. That's why I got a banker. I have to borrow money. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, borrow it from me. No, don't borrow it from church folks. Amen. You hear me today? I'm saying God has taught me something. I'm glad He's taught me something. Let's read that scripture. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Not physical. Like I said a while ago, chickens may quit laying, the dogs start biting, the cat runs away, your hair fall out, health's all gone, bank account dries up, but you can still know that you're saved by the grace of God and headed to heaven when life's over. Now we got this prosperity gospel people talk about. Oh, you can have your pie and eat it too. Boy, you can have everything. And it's no reason for any child of God to go without anything. I ain't. There's not a one of you in here is going without nothing. God has met your needs. He hadn't always give you what you wanted. And I got news for you. He won't do it in the future either. You climb up to the highest place that you can get to God, and I'll guarantee you there'll still be some things He'll withhold on you because you don't need it. And you wouldn't know how to use it if you had it. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God we got some spiritual blessings. God give me something on the inside. He's mine. I'm His. Hallelujah. Your head's bowed.